or my take at thetakeaway.org. So we're looking at pictures of the orderly protests in London as G20 leaders gather to talk about the world economic crisis. They're contrasted with the protests last month, tumultuous, led by opposition leader in Pakistan, Nawaz Sharif. They raised the question, as does our next guest, James Traub, contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, can Pakistan be governed? The president of Pakistan, Mr. Asif Ali Zardari, is believed to be one of the least popular leaders in the region, and yet he has one of the biggest responsibilities in maintaining security in one of the most unstable parts of the world. James Traub has a piece in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. Thanks so much for joining.
Well, delighted to be here, John.
You know, the question is, that is the whole question. It's a question not only just for Pakistan, but it's for the entire world. What are the challenges of governing Pakistan, and how were those expressed by President Zardari, who you spent some time with?
Yeah, the underlying question, I think, is, can Pakistan function as a democratic state? You know, for much of its history, Pakistan was governed by the military, and the military still takes the view they're the only ones who know what they're doing. The civilian politicians are a bunch of clowns. Yet what struck me when I was there, and I spent 2 weeks in Pakistan recently, is I think there's really a consensus that that model doesn't work. Pakistan is only going to work if it's a democracy. Only if Pakistan can provide real governance, real democratic values, as opposed to what, in effect, the Taliban is offering. Are they going to be able to succeed in getting people to coalesce around some kind of a vision of what Pakistan should be? So that's the underlying fact. It does have to be a democracy. There are real deep democratic impulses in Pakistan. Now, having said that, they have a specific government. They have this guy, Asif Ali Zardari. He's the head of the state. He's a very unimpressive person, I'm sorry to say.
And, you know, let's talk about regional issues. I mean, there are places like the Swat Valley in the northwest of Pakistan where the Taliban is perceived to be something of a relief from a sense of anarchy that's reigned for quite a long time. And the verdict, as you write in your story, of 8 years under President Musharraf, military leader, was not good. Clearly, the Pakistanis want a democratic alternative. But what's the model? Is it across the border in India, or is it something from within?
Well, of course, there's no real democratic model. Every country has their own democratic system. But at the same time, well, you can look at India perfectly well and see India is a much less likely country than Pakistan in terms of being able to function effectively. So many different language groups, religious groups, ethnic groups, and so forth. And yet for all of India's colossal problems, it is a place where everybody has a chance to use their voice. And so India doesn't, in fact, suffer from the possibility of state breakup. India is a functioning country and, of course, one of the fastest growing economies in the world. So that would be just fine if Pakistan could emulate that. I tend to think historically Pakistan's problem has been that it was born with such a profound fear of India and so organized itself around that fear of India that it became a kind of national security state. And only now, I think, is it becoming clear to everybody that model doesn't work.
Your impressions of Zardari, is he someone who understands, number one, his unpopularity and the fragility of his regime, or is he in a bubble?
You know, he talks as if he were in a bubble. My guess is he's a pretty shrewd guy, and he knows that he's not very popular, and he knows that politically he's in a really tight place. His instincts, though, are so zero-sum. The guy's a fighter. I mean, he's kind of a street fighter, and he's a clever street operative. But it seems to me he doesn't get the fact that he's engaged in a profoundly public activity. So I think this whole drama we saw that you referred to in the introduction, this huge demonstration led by Nawaz Sharif, I think Zardari thought, I can use this opportunity to really get this guy. I can destroy this guy. And so he tried to do that through various means. He basically succeeded in getting the government of Punjab, which Sharif controls, unseated. And he thought he would kind of strike a death blow at the guy before he struck a blow at Zardari. Well, it didn't work that way.
No.
He didn't understand that, in fact, there really was a groundswell of public support behind this demonstration, which in turn was proposing to – was demanding the reinstatement of the deposed Chief Justice. It was a public event, not some kind of little private knife fight between two political
right.
opponents.
And now Iftikhar Chowdhury, the Chief Justice, is reinstated. And is there a fight brewing between the judiciary in Pakistan and President Zardari? And what's the chances of Zardari surviving?
I don't think that's where the danger comes. And by the way, I don't think Zardari is immediately threatened. I think what happened to him in these recent events was he struck a real grievous blow at his own political standing. And I think almost everybody came out well from this big drama. The judiciary came out well. Sharif came out well. The army, whose intervention seemed wholly in order to defend democracy, came out well. Zardari came out badly.
You know, many on this program have suggested that Zardari in the early going has kind of fumbled in projecting much greater focus on Barack Obama and the so-called war on terror than in dealing with the much more near and dear to the people of Pakistan's hearts, the issues with India, you know, regional issues, Kashmir, etc. Do you sense that he's miscalculated in this way?
You know, he has a genuine problem here, which we have to be sympathetic to, which is to say, if Zardari were acting the way the United States would like to see him act in regard to extremism, he'd be hurting his popularity even more. And as it, because only now, I think, are the Pakistani people coming to recognize that extremism is their problem as much as it is ours. And the terrorist attack in Lahore that happened the day before yesterday, I think, is a terrifying wake-up call. But right now, the Pakistani people still tend to think the United States is making us do it. And in fact, they blame Zardari, who they see as a kind of American lackey. And so what Zardari has not been able to do is to publicly state the problem in a way so as to rally the Pakistani people themselves behind the need for a solution.
And that, of course, is the call from Barack Obama last Friday in outlining his policy, suggesting that Pakistan needs to be more of a player, more involved in dealing with the regional issues as a partner with the United States. James Traub, contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine. His piece, Governing Pakistan, Can Pakistan Be Governed, is in this Sunday's New York Times. We leave you with Barack Obama talking about Pakistan.
And after years of mixed results, we will not and cannot provide a blank check. Pakistan must demonstrate its commitment to rooting out al-Qaeda and the violent extremists within its borders.
So protesters from all over the world descending on London for the G20 conference. If you want to join the protest, tell us what you'd write on your sign. Here's one that someone mailed in. Bonus caps or kneecaps? Call us with your placard suggestion at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. We also seem to have got your attention with that story about congressional calisthenics from Todd Zwillick.
I think it's a great idea for Congress to be exercising. I wish my work would do it every day at a time when people are overworked and stressed. Exercise can be a great way to start the day.
But there was at least one of you who wasn't buying it.
John, this is Rick calling from the Northeast. Nice try on your April Fool's joke with Todd Zwillick, but I think if you were doing a draw play, you would have been sacked it with a 15-yard loss.
You got us, April Fools. But what's no joke of the protesters gathering today in London for the G20 summit? Here's your takeaway.
It's a rare sunny day here in London today. That always favors the protesters. More people like to show up. They may well stick around for longer.
I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Femi Okay.
It's The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the...